Good morning. How are you? It is good to be here. Why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles a little bit. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. We thank you in this moment because you speak to us when we read this book. You've said that it is your living and active, your living and powerful word. So God, I pray that we would be changed as we listen to your voice in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we have been going through the book of, as we've been going through the book of Matthew, we stumbled upon a section of Matthew that talks about money. And so as we've been taking it apart piece by piece, the question that we see Jesus answering is, what should we do about money? What should we do with our money? What should we do when it comes to our money, our stuff, the stuff that we buy with money and the money that we buy stuff with? What should we do with that? And the text we're going to look at today, flip over to Matthew 5. We'll get there eventually. Actually, we're going to go somewhere else first. So if you get to Matthew 5, be prepared to stay there and jump somewhere else. But the text that we're going to look at today in Matthew, I said 5, I meant 6, in Matthew 6, continues with the idea of idolatry, of loving money, loving things, putting things and money in the center of our hearts, and what it looks like to worship money. And so, look back at Exodus 34. This is the jump, and then we'll go back to Matthew 6. Exodus 34, idolatry is one of these themes that runs through. A few weeks ago, we talked about the glory of God being a theme that runs through the Bible, and it's just everywhere, and it forms the biblical narrative. Idolatry is another theme that runs through the whole biblical narrative, and so much teaching in the Bible is connected directly or indirectly to idolatry. Exodus 34, look at verse 14, one of many, many, many verses that says basically the same thing. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Don't worship other gods. What's it saying? And it's saying that God is the great king, the sovereign king of the universe. He is God, and he demands and expects us to worship him, to love him, to put him at the center of our hearts, and for him to be the center of our lives. He wants our entire heart and our entire devotion. He wants our affection. And an idol, in this short verse, it's saying all of this, and it was expounded out in Exodus 20 and other places, but an idol is something that we put in God's place. It's something that we raise up, many times something good. It can be family, or it can be people. It can be romance. It can be a job. It could be money. It can be things. It could be any number of, it could be sports. It can be a sports team. It could be so many different things that we raise up and we put in the center of our hearts, and we give them our affection instead of God. That's what an idol is. It's the thing that we look to make us happy, to make us feel loved and approved of, to make us feel safe and secure and satisfied. That's what an idol is. It's what we really worship. It's not what we say we worship for an hour on Sundays. It's what our lives are devoted to the rest of the week. That's what our idol is. And so why would we talk about idolatry when the subject of the second half of Matthew 6 is money? What do they have to do with each other? Well, money and the stuff we buy with money turns out to be one of the biggest idols that we raise up. The stuff we have, the money that we have, that is the one of the biggest things that fights for the place at the center of our hearts that God demands to occupy. That's what we tend to put at the center of our hearts. We make an idol out of money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, kind of to the end of the chapter, Jesus talks about money, and he relates it to idolatry. And the big idea of all of these passages that we're looking at is that money is a bad God. And Jesus is emphasizing this over and over again from different angles. He shows us how we worship money, because there's a tendency in us to say, I don't think I worship money. I don't think that that's my that's a God that fights to be at the center of my heart. I don't worship my stuff. That's not an idol for me. That's our tendency. We don't see money and things as our God because our heart deceives us. Our heart deceives us so that we don't see what our true idol is, what our true God is. And in this passage, Jesus looks at money from three or four different angles, and he shows us three or four different ways that we worship money. He shows us in practical terms how we put money and stuff at the center of our hearts. And as he does that, he exposes our idolatry, and he shows us not just how we worship money and things, but how we can take that out of the center of our hearts and put God in its place. We're going to look at verse 22 and 23 today. And if we read these verses on their own, just pulling them out of the context that surrounds them, I think that they are incredibly difficult to understand. But if we put them in the middle of this section on where Jesus is talking about money, I think they make a lot more sense in this context. Look at Matthew 6, 22 through 23. And what Jesus is going to tell us is that what we desire shapes who we are. What we desire, what we most want, what we think about, what we focus our eyes on, that shapes who we are and who we become. And verse 22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? See, he's talking about what we look at. And it's not just what we physically look at. If I look at light, I see light. And that's a metaphor, right? That's obvious. If I see light, then things will be lit up. And if I look in darkness, I won't see very well. That's a metaphor. It's an example he's using. What's he really talking about? He's talking about what we put before our eyes, what we focus on, what we desire, what we most want, what we think about. He's talking about what we dream about, and not at night when we don't control our dreams, but during the day when we control what we dream about, what we want, I wish this would happen. I wish I could get this. I want this. He's talking about what we focus our mind's eye on. And the reality is that we focus on, we look at, we raise up before ourselves, we put in our mind and our thoughts and our desires, they go to whatever we worship. One of the biggest indicators of what we love, of what our idol is, of what is fighting to be at the center of our heart, is what do you think about? And that's why idolatry is so hard to, well, you can't come up to me for the most part and tell me what my idols are because you don't know what's going on in my mind. You don't know what I think about, luckily. I don't know what you think about. And that's kind of, society would fall apart if we could read each other's minds. It would be horrible. But what we think about, what we focus on, what we put up before our eyes, what we desire, that reveals what we want. That reveals what we love. That reveals what's at the center of our heart. So I can't read your mind, but you know what goes on in your mind. So just for a moment, play a little game with me. Think about what you think about. I know that sounds weird, but it makes sense. Think about what you focus on, what you look at with your not just your eyes, but with your mind, what you desire. What does that tell you about what you want, about what's at the center of your heart? What does that tell you about what you most desire? What does that tell you about your idol? And see, we think this is that, and we go, oh, but that's not my idol. Yeah, but what do you think about? What do you want? That's your God. That's what's fighting to be at the center of your heart because we look at and think about and focus on what we love. And then both sides of it in verse 22 and 23, whether it's for good or for bad, what we look at, what we focus on, what we put our mind's eye, our thoughts, whether it's our physical view, eye, or whether it's our mind and our thoughts, whatever it is that we focus on and think about and desire will form and shape what we are. That's why Jesus says the light of the body is the eye. So then if your eye is good, what if you look at, if you think about, if you desire, if you put before yourself what is good, then your whole body will be good. Your whole life will be good. But if you desire, if you look at, if your eye is bad, if what you put before you, if what you focus on, in the same way, you know, you get your eye examined. Is this the clear? This clear? You focus on it. You want to read. You want to pass the test. We want to give good answers. So we focus on. We try to focus. Whatever you focus on in life, in your mind, in your thoughts, whatever you desire, that will, if it's bad, then your whole body, Jesus says, will be full of darkness. We are shaped and formed by what we look at and what we desire and what we think about and what we focus on. That's what shapes who we become as people. We are shaped by what we want, by what we desire. Think about it. If there's something that you think about a lot, that you focus on, okay, think about that. Isn't it true that that kind of starts shaping who you are and what kind of person you are and what your life is built around? When I let myself focus on certain things, when I let myself focus on that thing that I want to buy, that's all I see. That's all I think about. I see other people that have the same thing. That's all I desire. I think about Christmas, and I don't think about the wonderful time we'll have with my family or who might come and visit us and stay in our basement and we'll have a wonderful time together. No, I think about, well, that'll be an excuse. I can get that thing that I want. What we want, what we focus on, what we desire, it shapes who we are and who we become. If you hate someone, and you wouldn't say hate in church on a Sunday morning, but you know, if you hate someone, and you so badly would love for something bad to happen to them, for to get revenge on them, whether you, not even to do it yourself because you don't want to go to jail, but if they could just have a horrible, I mean, you wouldn't say it out loud. So I'm saying it for you. But when you focus on that, isn't it true that shapes your life and it shapes who you become and it shapes the kind of person that you are? It shapes how you look at that person and it shapes how you look at other people. It shapes your thoughts. It shapes who you are. It's not just what you're looking at. It's not just what you desire. Now it's who you are. Here is how it works. What we look at with our eyes and with our mind, what we think about, forms our desires, and our desires form our character, and our character forms our actions. Jesus is saying what we put before our eyes, our physical eyes or our mind's eye, what we think about, what we focus on, will form and shape who we are. And look at verse 23 again. But if your eye is bad, then all of your body will be in darkness. So then if the light that is in you is darkness, which doesn't make sense, but what is he saying? If what you focus on is bad and it changes you and it shapes you, how bad will be that darkness? How great is that darkness? He's saying you're going to be lost. If you focus on an idol, if you focus on something that it takes your attention away from what is light, from what is God, if you focus on something that is your idol that sits at the center of your heart, it will destroy you. It will ruin you. That's what Jesus is saying. And remember, he's saying this in the context of money. It's not just some random teaching that's thrown out there. He's saying it in the context. Look before and look after. He's talking about worshiping money. And he's saying if you focus on, specifically money, but if you focus on an idol, it will form who you are. You're going to be focusing on your life on something that can't satisfy you, and you will end up being filled with darkness. You will be, whether it's the darkness of pursuing something that you shouldn't pursue and that ruins you, or whether it's the darkness of wanting something that will never satisfy you and never make you happy, and you will always want more and you'll be obsessed with that. How great is the darkness? And look at what he says. He doesn't say in verse 23, if you compare verse 22 and verse 23, he's not saying you can focus some on good and some on your idol. And that's okay. You'll be kind of half and half. It'll be kind of light and kind of dark. It'll be like day and night in the same time in your heart. Saying you have to choose. It has to be one or the other. If whatever you focus on will determine who you are for good or for bad. And when we focus on our idols, we become completely corrupted on the inside, not just in our minds. Have you ever thought to yourself, I can think about that. I'm not going to do anything. I would never buy that car, but I can dream about it. I would never do that thing to that person that I hate so much, but I can dream about how beautiful it would be. I would never say that to my boss, but I can dream about it. I would never tell my wife that lie, but I can dream about it. See, when we think about it, it doesn't just stay in our minds. It changes who we are. What does that look like in practical terms? Okay, remember, Jesus is talking about this in terms of money and possessions. And this applies broadly to everything we would put at the center of our hearts, to all of our idols. But let's think specifically about money and possessions. How does focusing on money or possessions, or money and possessions, on our stuff, how does that change us? How does desiring and wanting more and letting that be what we focus our mind's eye on, our thoughts, how does that change us? What is it, practically speaking, what does that look like? We become, there's this thing in the Hispanic culture, I love it, all you have to do is hit your elbow. It means it's a cheap person. That's all you have to do is you're being cheap. You're a cheap person. You hit your elbow and the person knows, and you're telling everybody that they're a cheap person. When I focus on money, when I focus on my stuff, on what I want, on me and my stuff, I'm this. I become cheap. I think I don't care about anybody else. I in every transaction, I want to make sure I get my own. You're my waiter, and you come to my table, and I'm going to calculate 10%, and if there's a penny difference on either side, I'm going to make sure I stay with that penny and not you, because I don't care about you. I care about me, because I focus on my money. I'm not generous. Sometimes I'll do nice things for other people very publicly so everybody knows, but I'm not a generous person. I'm obsessed with money and things. This would be horrible if, you know, you took the recording and just cut out this part where I'm describing this, because it sounds like I'm just confessing a whole bunch. But in many ways, I am, because aren't we all this way when we focus on money and possessions? I'm obsessed with things, with money. I filter everything with how much is that going to cost? How much is that going to take away from what I really love, from what I really have? I think about every decision. I think, how is that going to affect me economically? That's my only standard. That's the only thing that really matters. I become someone who's obsessed with money and possessions. Why? Because I set my mind's eye on it. Because the light in me, because the darkness in me is great. I become worried and irritable, and I get angry easily. Why? Because I'm stressed out about money. Why? Because that's at the center of my thoughts, because it's at the center of my heart. I lie on my taxes. I lie whenever I can't. I have to, in order to keep more of what is mine, what I love. I take what isn't mine when I can. I don't call it stealing, but I take whatever I can, even if it's not really mine. I envy what you have, because I want that. That's what I focus my eyes, my life, my thoughts, my desires on. I complain about what I don't have. And the worst thing is, I don't see what I'm really like. You do. You do. And you tell me, you're cheap. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm frugal. I'm wise. I'm not cheap. I'm just, you know, I think things through. I don't see that I'm a person who's consumed by my greed and by my desire for stuff, because the darkness in me is so great. Why? Because of what I focus my eye on, what I focus my mind on. And in the context, Jesus in this section is talking about money, so that's a good application of that. But then broaden that out, because in this particular passage, he's in these two verses, he doesn't specifically say money. So broaden that out. If I fix my thoughts and my eye on a person, I become obsessed with that person. I pursue that person. I throw my marriage away for that person. If I become obsessed, let's pick something good, with my family, if they become the center of my thoughts and the center of my hearts and what I focus all of my life on, I should love my family. They're a good thing. They're a gift from God. If I don't love my family, I'm sinning. If I don't love my family, take care of my family, I can't stand here and teach the Bible to you. But they can't be at the center of my heart. And if I focus all of my mind and my life on them, then I become obsessed with my family. And I measure every decision with how it's going to affect my family. And I don't seek the kingdom. I seek my kingdom. I put my family in a very elevated place. I don't make good decisions. When my boys have problems, I don't treat them the way that I should. I treat them in a way that I would treat my idol. If I put a vice, something, a habit, a bad habit at the center of my thoughts, eventually it will start consuming my life, and I'll find ways to partake in that without people knowing, and irregardless of what it does to my health, irregardless of what it does to me physically, I won't really care about the damage that it ends up doing to my family and to my life and to everybody around me. If something innocent as a sport starts becoming the focus of all of my thoughts, which tells me that's at the center of my heart, then I'm going to focus on that above everything else. And people are going to look at me and say, you're focusing on 19 and 20-year-old boys running around a field as the center of your life. That's something you enjoy with a bag of chips for a couple of hours. It's not something that you live for, but it consumes me and it forms who I am. So think about your life. How has what you focus on shaped you? How have you become the person you are because of what you focus on and what you think about, what you set your eye on? And Jesus gives us the solution to our idolatries presenting itself in our focus, the focus of our life. In verse 22, he starts out with the solution, not the problem. The lamp of the body is the eye. So then if your eye is good, all of your body will be full of light. The solution is to focus on God instead of money, and focus on God instead of anything else that would take his place. We are to be people who are focused, our eyes on God, our physical eyes, but even more the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our focus and the eyes of our desire. We have to be people who choose to put God not just at the center of our hearts, because when we talk about idols, we talk about putting God at the center of our hearts, we say, oh yes, I want God at the center of my heart. I think God is at the center of my heart. This is saying, what does it look like when God is at the center of your heart? It's when God is at the center of your mind, when he's at the center of your affections. It's part of obeying the first commandment. Flip back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. This isn't the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, if you're following along and keeping track. This is what Jesus says is the first, the main, the biggest, the greatest commandment. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Other versions of that say with all of your mind. Everything you are, that includes your thoughts and your focus. It includes what we think about. This is putting God at the center. How do I think less about what I want to buy at the next time I have some extra money? And how do I think less about getting some more money saved up and doing that thing and buying that thing? And how do I think less about that and stop focusing so much on that? How do I stop focusing so much on whatever my idol is? How do I stop setting my eye, my focus, and my thoughts on the Huskers or whatever I've raised up as my idol? How do I do that? It's by putting my eyes on what is good. It's on putting my eyes on God. It's worshiping and loving God. It's desiring God. It's desiring being near to God. It's desiring having intimacy and a connection with God. It's what we can do because of Jesus and the cross. That's why we celebrate communion every week, because we remember what Jesus did on the cross. And because of him, we can draw near to God. And because of Jesus, we can focus on God without fearing his wrath. And because of Jesus, we can place our life's focus and our thoughts on God instead of our idol, because Jesus has opened a door for us to come to God. And when we focus on God, we are transformed. Look back at verse 22 again. The lamp of the body is the eye. So then if your eye is good, all of your body will be full of light. When I put before my eyes, before my thoughts, before my desires, when I desire what is good, what is God, he's says all of your body will be full of light. All of your being, everything that you are, you will be formed by that. Instead of desiring our idols forming us in a negative way, desiring God forms us and shapes us in the most positive way. It gives light to our relationship with God. It draws us near to God. We become more like Him. We become more like the people that He designed us to be, made in His image. Have you ever thought about that? We're made in God's image, and then we focus on all these other things that aren't God, and we become shaped by them. So really, our idols distort us to be different from the image of God. But when we focus on God, it fills us with His, in Jesus' metaphor, His light, and we become more and more like Him, and we more accurately reflect our Maker, in whose image we are made. So how do we desire God in practical terms? How do we put God at the center of our thoughts and our desire? How do we focus our mind's eye on God instead of everything else, including our money and our stuff? It's really simple. It's just that you have to do it. You have to practice it. It's very simple. It starts by becoming his child. We put God at the center of our heart and the center of our desires and the center of our thoughts when we give ourselves to Him. When we repent and are baptized and make a decision to enter into a relationship with Jesus, when we take Him as our Savior and our Lord, we receive the connection of the Holy Spirit that connects us with the Father, and He adopts us into His family. And the door is open so that we can focus and our thoughts and our minds on God and desire God more than we desire anything else. And then we have to live every day desiring God, focusing on God. How do we do that? By reading the Bible and listening to God. By thinking about what we read earlier in the day. That's meditating in the Word, thinking about it, and letting God talk to us through His Word. As we read, saying, God, what are you trying to tell me? What does that mean? What should I do? And by praying, by talking to God, by fasting, by spending times weekly or monthly or yearly or once in your life, whatever it looks like for you, spending times where you regularly seek God with the intensity that comes by not eating food and reading the Bible and praying. That's how we focus on God. So when I struggle to not focus my mind's eye on my idol, the way that I should do that is by opening up my Bible and praying and spending time with God and focusing on Him. Because as I focus my eye on Him, I'm filled with light. As I focus on everything else, my idol changes and forms me. So, let's end with a question. What is your next step? To worship God more and money and possessions less? Or, another way to think about that, what can you do this week to focus yourself more on God? Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Dear God, we come to You and we thank You because You are good. Thank You because You love us. Thank You because You allow us to draw near to You. Thank You, God, because You warn us of the effects of focusing on anything that isn't You. And I pray, God, that You would create out of us a people who individually and together would be so focused on You that You occupy our thoughts, that You occupy our desires, and that everything else in life that we might focus on, that might fight to be the center of our hearts, fades away. But as we focus on You, You would form us in Your image more and more, in Your likeness. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.